Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Danita Applewhite, and I am so happy to be here this morning, able to share with you some of the things that students and teachers and veterans and even parents write in to me through email, chat, or just by conferences and material evaluations that they've given back and problems that they're having. And I'm just so grateful that this radio show is available and out there. We're reaching towards 71,000 listeners now since 2009, and we're very, very pleased at the support that still continues to pour in so many ways from all of you. Specifically, our sponsor, which is White Apple Institute. And White Apple Institute offers emotional support and referrals and also crisis stipends to adult students and student veterans, especially those that have families and trying to hold down a job, and they run into challenges. Money is provided in one way or another as funds are available to those students as they to get them out of the crisis. So if you know anyone that is an adult student, adult learner, or veteran trying to go to school, and maybe they're not in school, but they want to go to school, and they're having some challenges, emotional challenges, in getting themselves ready emotionally, then ask them to call us at White Apple Institute or follow us up on the on the web. It's whiteappleinstitute.org, and the telephone number is 480-471-8082. You know, what we're going to talk about this morning is something that comes up constantly in my conversations with students and teachers, and that is self-esteem. And self-esteem is, and I'm going to present it today as an attitude that we make, that in order to have to improve our self-esteem, we must do a complete change of attitude about ourselves. And that's going to take some work. But you know what? We're going to have fun doing the work, all right? Because that's what it's all about. If you enjoy what the reward is going to bring in something, as human nature dictates, you will not complete it. So you must find joy in it, and it's one of the reasons why I always encourage students to do what they love. Do what you love, and the money will follow. Okay, let your love for whatever your vocation is, wherever you see yourself, let that be the means in which you select your goal and set up your objectives in order to reach that goal. So one of the things that's happening is that a lot of people feel that they're alone and they're different from others because of this self-esteem issue. They're always looking for ways that they can say, criticize themselves, basically. They begin to criticize themselves, and in turn, many times will criticize others. And so this is always an indicator of low self-esteem. Whenever you hear someone constantly saying things like, you know, I never win anything. You know, there's no sense in me going to school because, you know, I'll never make it through. Something will happen. You hear people saying it about work. You know, there's no sense in me trying to get another job or trying to ask for a promotion because I'm not going to get it. And so they go through this whole thing. And if you ask them why they think that they're not going to get it, they have all of these reasons that really are totally invalid. They're excuses. They're not even reasons. Okay, so we appreciate that we have techniques available out there that will help us to build our self-esteem at whatever level we're at. Maybe we're not at the level of totally putting ourselves down. Maybe we're not at the level where we're really trying to hurt other people by our low self-esteem, feeling that superiority complex. Maybe we're not at that level, but maybe somewhere in between, where we still feel this discomfort with ourselves and this discomfort about being around other people. One of the things that I've learned about self-esteem, and we're going to have some teachers and students and veterans come on, some administrators from the Board of Directors of White Apple Institute that will be joining us today, and we'll have a discussion about how self-esteem can impact your performance. If you have low self-esteem, it will definitely impact your performance and your ability to succeed and just enjoy what you're doing. Now, it's common for many adult learners, including student veterans, to experience these low periods of self-esteem and related depression. Everyone goes through that. But remember, in past shows, especially for those of you who have ever been in a classroom setting with me or online classes, you know that one of the things that I always say is that you can't really diagnose a mental health disorder like depression unless you see it happening quite frequently and there's a duration period, okay? It lasts for 3 months to 6 months or more. And so these are the times when you really know that it's warranting that a doctor, a medical doctor, and a psychologist or psychiatrist must get involved to start helping out with counseling and medications as needed. So what I'm trying to say is that when we look at these periods of low self-esteem and depressive moments, I would like to educate all of us on understanding that that doesn't mean that you necessarily have depression. Depression is a true mental health diagnosis that indicates a chemical imbalance in the brain. And all of it is all chemical, electrochemical imbalances, without getting too heavy in the science end of it. But the point that I'm trying to make is that it has to be for a long period of time, a long period of time of just 1 week, or because a paycheck didn't come in, or you broke up with a loved one, a boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. These are things that eventually time will heal, okay? So the way we feel about our self-esteem, our self-worth, the way we look at ourselves, the way we either compliment ourselves or criticize ourselves, is based on the way we perceive ourselves, okay? It's an attitude that we have of the way we feel about the way we look, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we do everything. And always it relates also in the reflection we have of other people, always comparing ourselves with other people as if there's always got to be something wrong if someone else is doing it differently or what I perceive as better than me. Now, I see this happening a lot in the way students perceive themselves when they're before they're taking a test and even after the test. I see that before and after attitude of before the test feeling a sense of I'm not going to make it, I'm going to fail, to the aftermath of the test before the grade is even given of saying, well, I probably failed it, okay? And even I see that happening with job interviews, you know, when we're trying to improve ourselves by either changing jobs or moving into a promotion stage, we land up saying things to ourselves about the factor that we won't make it. And this creates tremendous emotional challenges. And, you know, many people with disabilities already, if you have a disability, and that is a disability that makes some part of what your ability is unable to work, but you have all kinds of different abilities, so don't forget that. So we'll go ahead and we'll accept this label of disabled for a moment just to get a point across that when you're dealing with any kind of disabling issue, then what happens is that you're going to have even more of a challenge with getting through school and getting through work projects, okay? And you're more susceptible to negative images, okay, of yourself. And that goes whether or not there's an invisible disability or a visible disability, okay? So what I'd like to do is to help people to see that even if you yourself have not been dealing with dropping out of school, maybe you're listening to this show for someone else because you're interested in helping them build their self-esteem. And what I'd like you to do is to help someone stop justifying dropout. Or maybe it's you. Stop justifying your dropping out. If you dropped out of something, you dropped out of something. And it doesn't mean that it's the end. You can always roll up your sleeves and get back into it again, and you keep trying, and that makes you a winner. I work with many students who are coming back to the workforce or back to school after periods of being married or maybe dealing with their disability, and they have all kinds of college credits built up. And one of the things that I always ask them is, why haven't you ever consolidated them and put them together so that you could go ahead and get your degree? And many times it's because they really felt that they could not do it. It was not going to happen for them. And because of that attitude, that perception of themselves, that low self-esteem, they took their dreams and they trashed them. And I don't want that to happen to you or anyone that you're listening to this show for. So I want you to do your best to help other people to stop justifying. When you hear them justifying why they dropped out, just tell them for a minute, listen, it doesn't mean the end of the world. Let's get it back together again. Contact somebody that can help you. Now, before I go any further, because I have some things I want to share with you on self-esteem, I want to get into some marvelous definitions that I came up with and also the cultural impact. But I see that we have a board member online from White Apple Institute, and I wanted to make sure that I acknowledge. Hello? Good morning, 209.
Good morning,
are you there, 209? Yes. Hello?
Good morning, Dr. Applewhite.
Yes, we can't hear you very well, but we just wanted to acknowledge you and thank you for calling in.
Okay, I'm sorry, we're on a cell, so if you don't hear me that well, sorry, but I enjoy what I'm hearing so far on the show for self-esteem.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And if you get a chance to call us in on another line, please do that because I'd love to hear your take on self-esteem and how you do that with the group homes that you are associated with, the residential facilities that you administrate. So, Ms. Owens, thank you very much for calling in from San Francisco area. Okay?
No problem.
All right. So let me get back, my friends, to something that's extremely important when we talk about self-esteem. One of the things that I think is real important is that we understand that self-esteem is many times associated with culture. And when and ethnicity in a sense, okay, but more culture. Culture is not necessarily ethnicity or race. Culture is your attitude and your value system, the way you believe about yourself and the community that you grow up in, the people that are in your family. All of that has to do with culture, traditions that you follow. So when you talk about self-esteem in some cultures, when we deal with cultures that are what we call collective cultures, and everyone believes that it's for the good of the people, everything that they do is basically for the good of the family, the friendships, and their community as a whole. And we see many Asian cultures are, you know, involved in that kind of philosophy. But more or less in America, we deal with an individualistic society, and our thoughts are more on how we can progress in this life. And we think many times more about ourselves than our community or our family. And so this is a common thing in our culture. And so therefore, self-esteem means different things to different people. That's really what I'm trying to get across here. And so we need to understand that sometimes when, especially teachers, I remember once a teacher sharing with me that a young man from a different country was saying to her that he didn't believe he could ever be an astronaut, but his love of life was to be a janitor like his dad. And the teacher could not, because of her culture, could not understand how valuable it was for that boy to say that, because he was actually saying, I'm going to follow in the footsteps of my dad. You know, I think that being an astronaut is a fine idea, but I really think that my dad's work is even more valuable than the astronaut. And because of cultural differences, sometimes we don't understand what really builds self-esteem. So I hope all of you teachers out there will really benefit from what I'm going to share. I've got a little note that came in from a teacher. She's, as a matter of fact, she's a high school teacher. She's going through a divorce right now, and because of that, she's dealing with a lot of negative comments coming in from family and spouse. And unfortunately, we are human beings, and we try our best not to carry issues to work or into the classroom, but it happens sometimes. And so this teacher is saying that now she's getting to the point where negative comments, any negative comments against her that she perceives as negative, even someone in the staff lounge telling her that she was running the copy machine the wrong way, everything is just beginning to touch her off because she is feeling that these negative comments are shattering her whole world. And she's not able to hold on to the self-esteem that she had before because of the emotional stuff that she's going through in her personal life. And so we definitely understand that, and we hope you're listening in today to the show so that you can understand that it is important that we try our best to separate the emotional stuff that we're going through in our lives when we go to work, and especially as teachers of people that are younger and influenced by our actions. So we do have to be careful about that. But I do encourage you to still be who you are. And if you feel sad, to find a place and time to do that within during your day. And that's the most important thing that I can share with you about building that self-esteem back up again. Because when you're in front of other people, especially people that you're teaching, that's going to be a hardship for not only you, but for the fact that you know that you're projecting a negative image out there. So keep up the good work in trying to pull yourself into a peaceful stage, you know, maybe every 2 or 3 hours, just take a short break and meditate for a while. I have a student veteran who also shared that it's hard for him to make an attitude change. An attitude change because he's coming in from a very active military life into civilian life, and he's feeling like he does not fit in to the average college arena. And many times that does happen. It is a different environment. And so I'm going to encourage him to listen to the factor that there is an adjustment period. There's and that adjustment period is never going to end, because just like myself, I learned discipline very well in the military, and I still apply that to this day. So you're not going to forget the good things about that, the discipline, the standards, the knowing what to expect pretty much, versus being in the civilian world where it's a little different, but you will continue to adjust and it will get better. And one last student I picked out of the chats that we received is that she's a single mom. She's 38, and she doesn't believe anymore in herself or her abilities. And she's going to school. She's going to school for a degree in computers, and she teaches. She studies with her children at night because they're also going to school. And she's feeling uncomfortable because lately she's in an assignment where she is not doing very well. And she feels uncomfortable about showing her feelings in front of her children because she's always encouraging them. So, you know, here we go. There's that self-esteem issue. It fluctuates. And so you're just in a temporary position right now. And this position will be over after you finish your project. And however you finish your project, as long as you do the best, roll up your sleeves, do the best you can. And sometimes it's a good idea to let your children know that you're having a rough time, because I guarantee you they are too. And it opens up a whole door for conversation, okay? And I'm sure our producer, Malvina Sullivan, will attest to that there is definitely something to be said about mothers who encourage their children to understand that there are ups and downs in school and life, okay? And you get them too. So without further ado, I just want to make sure that we have a pretty good idea of the issues of self-esteem. And right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to write down something. And I'm going to go into an article that I need to share with you. And that article is from Psychology Today, and it's a great article. And the reason why I picked this to speak from today is because one of the things that I see coming across my desk a lot is this lack of happiness in the world. People tell me many times they're not happy. They're not happy for a number of reasons in their personal life, but even in the world today, because of the violence, because of the lack of leadership that we perceive now, that actually is factual, based on our last government shutdown. So we have a lot of reasons to feel uncomfortable about what's going on. So, you know, I understand that, but I'd like to, for a moment, get this reflection of Dr. Alex Lickerman. He's a physician who actually studies Buddhism, so he relates a lot to the Buddhist philosophy in his practice. But one of the things that he says is that that a lot of people grow up, as we know, with a lot of abuse in their childhood, abuse in their marriages, and they develop an unhealthy self-esteem many times because of that, and also because of the way they perceive, as we've talked about earlier, their physical appearance. But research has consistently supported the notion that it's difficult to be happy without liking oneself, and that's what I liked about what he said. You have to like yourself. Do you like yourself? And what part of yourself do you not like? Okay, that's what I'd like to know. What part of yourself do you not like? What kind of attitude do you carry about your own self-esteem? Do you feel that you have a healthy self-esteem? Okay? Because I have a lot of people that I work with that the general term is self-loather or self-hatred, okay? And there's just different things that they actually hate about themselves. And when I say hate, it's very strong language, but what I'm talking about is that they don't like the way their nose looks or their hair looks or like I said earlier, the way they walk or talk. And they feel that there's something that holds them back from their academic and their job performance. And they begin to start developing these issues with themselves and overlook the good parts. There's good parts of ourselves that we need to focus on, and many times we don't do that. And I just want to bring out for a minute that I'm finishing up this book right now, and I was writing something just the other night about the factor that we are all made in the image of God. And I just want to share with you that if you really feel, truly believe that we are made in the image of our Creator, and I'm not talking about the physical image, I'm talking about the very spiritual image, the image that tells us how beautiful it is to be alive. It's a feeling that we have inside of ourselves that we lose as time goes on and things happen in our lives, okay? I know, especially when I'm talking about veterans, I know there's instances, traumas that have happened that can sometimes impact that self-esteem, that very spiritual self. But I encourage you that inside, that the answer, the kingdom of God is inside, as the great Jesus Christ has always taught. The kingdom of God is inside of us, and we can reach inside and really find the true source of self-esteem. Anyway, what I wanted to say is that we can experience a loss in our lives, but we can have things that we don't like about ourselves, but they don't have to actually overwhelm us and change our whole attitude about the way we're going to perform and succeed or at school or at work. And we have a caller online that I want to take in right now because of the factor that I believe this is our... am I right? Is this Mitch Cavanaugh?
This is Mitch.
Hello?
Yes, this is Mitchell Cavanaugh.
Okay. You know, I'm having – how's your volume on that side?
It's perfect, but let me
– there you go. That's perfect there.
Okay.
That's perfect.
I like what you – the conversation you were just having.
Uh-huh.
Because when I started ASU, I thought I was the dullest tool in the shed. I did not have that much self-esteem for my ability academically. But I take a little memory back to what my mother used to say, nothing beats a failure but a try. So once I started trying, I found out that I wasn't as dumb as I thought I was. I put low expectations on myself, and I ended up being more successful, which gave me more confidence. And my attitude is I'm supposed to be 100%, I am 100% disabled, so
okay.
I don't look at myself as crippled.
Uh-huh.
I am legally blind. I do not view myself as legally blind.
Mm-hmm.
I push myself to the limits of my ability.
There you go.
And I often find that I'm coming up more than par to everyone else that is not 100% disabled and that is not legally blind. So I am one that I don't like to use my appearance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gray. I'm a black man. I don't care if people don't I don't care if people don't think that I'm attractive. I tell myself, boy, you're good looking. Because if you don't believe it, nobody else is gonna believe it.
Wonderful. That is
It's all attitude. If you walk out of the house saying that my clothes are old, my shoes are worn out, and I don't look good, well, you're not going to look good. If you walk out of the house saying my clothes are old, my shoes are worn over, but I look as good as anybody else.
There you go.
You know, it's all about how you perceive yourself. If you perceive yourself to be an intelligent person, you will become an intelligent person because you have to live up to what you perceive yourself to be. If you perceive yourself to be a bum, you're on the street and you're begging, that's who you're going to be. I say, look, God gave us all something, and he gave us that ability to survive.
Yes.
And you can take that little ability that he gave you to survive and cultivated into the ability to succeed, the ability to believe, and the ability to give yourself self-confidence. Because there's been plenty of jobs that I've been on that I knew that maybe I wasn't as good as the next person. But after evaluating what the other person was doing that I thought was better than me, My ability to work harder, my ability to consume information and then turn it into what my employer wanted,
a higher
level than what the person I thought was over me was doing.
There you go. And Mitch, there's a real important thing that you bring to the table especially for all students out there, adult students who are struggling to raise families and maintain incomes and just the whole slew of things that have to be done in order to manage your life. You also come with the history of being a veteran. And being a veteran means so much, not only in the attitude category, okay, but there is an attitude that we develop as veterans. And then in trying to adjust to civilian life, it does make it very challenging for us. But it sounds like you were able to make that transition very well, and you found a way not only through your mother's inspiration, but hopefully, I hope you're going to say, and I don't know if you're going to say this, but that the military had something to do with building your self-esteem also.
The military taught me that I can achieve the most difficult task that I thought that I could not do. So I use that as an inspiration, self-inspiration. If I could climb the side of a mountain, if I could jump out of an airplane, if I could survive in a jungle and all the stuff that the Army taught me, if I could do all of this, well, then this little challenge is I put it on my challenge level, you know. And
well,
there
that's was
great. No challenge. There's no challenge that I did not ever decline when I was in the Army, so that's the way I look at it. I'm just one of those vets that continually strive
for the excellence
that's inside of us. You know, I mean, we all have it. And when I was going to ASU, my wife worked, my children were young, they were in elementary school and preschool, and they were always, daddy, 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 do this, let's do that. And I needed to study. So what I did was, I said, hey, let me show you this. We would watch something on, let's say, PBS that had to do with what I was studying.
Very good.
And then I would take that same curriculum and use it to sort of teach them, And then they were like, I let them like make like they were teaching me. But it gave me the opportunity to study, but incorporate them in so that I'm not getting so irritated with not being able to study. Because my wife worked and she needed her time. And
then you were
you were
working too, Mitch.
I was working too as far as going to school. That's a full-time job if you're going full-time.
That's right.
And,
what about your sculpture? What about your sculpturing business? Were you doing that then?
I was, but I was using my sculpture as a avenue to free up my time so that I can let my kids do the sanding because they like to participate in what I was doing. So if they were sanding, they were out of my hair, but they were feeling like that they weren't neglected, and they were learning something that Daddy was doing. And then when Daddy finished it, they had the opportunity to say that I helped do this. It gave them a sense of accomplishment.
Mitch, I can't tell you how encouraging the things that you've said are for not only me and the staff of White Apple Institute, but also for all of our listeners out there that are listening right now, especially those veterans. I want you to hear that you can succeed, you can manage family life, and if you're going to school part-time, working full-time, whatever it is out there, you're going to have these attitude changes are going to have to be made, and you're going to have these high and low periods of self-esteem, but you don't have to give up, okay? And if you have to stop for a semester or so and get back on track again, don't feel like because that you drop out that it's all over. You can always roll up your sleeves and get back in there again, get back into the game, okay? So it's real important. Mitch, thank you so much for sharing that. Now, what I want you to do is, and I want to piggyback a little bit on something that I heard from you and I also know about you, is that you also know that treating others well is very, very important. And it's almost the key to knowing that you really have healthy self-esteem is when you have the ability to help others without putting them down, without getting that superiority feeling, but really just helping them so that they can focus on their positive qualities. And what's special about you is that we're hoping that you're going to come up with other veterans with more stories about how they have reached these the higher levels of self-esteem, attitude changes, and the whole bit. So if you can, towards the end of the show, because we've got about 23 minutes left, I'd like to come back and see if there's something you can share with us inspirationally, either a story about yourself or someone that you know that you've helped get through or that you've seen go through the process of building their self-esteem so that they could succeed. Okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to come back to you on that. All right, we have another caller online this morning, and I want to make sure that I, as we've come to the close, we always find that we run out of a little time here, but we're going to try to get everybody's comments in on this issue of self-esteem. And let's see if we've got some students, teachers, and veterans discussing self-esteem this morning. Good morning, 290. 290, are you there?
My name is Jim Richardson.
Good morning, Jim Richardson.
I'm calling in. I really enjoy your show. I'm also a Vietnam veteran.
Yes.
And I get so excited and inspired when I hear people like Mitch talk about their attitude and their goals and their right way of thinking. I believe that a man can win who thinks he can win, to have a positive attitude in order to achieve anything that you want to do. It's so important, your attitude, that you have set goals for yourself and that you have a high esteem of yourself. You know, when you look in the mirror in the morning, you should say, hey, I love you because because you are a special person. You're one of a kind. You never have been or ever be another person exactly like you. God gave you many gifts, and he expects you to use those gifts. If you just reach into the far reaches of your mind and think and dream about what things you can achieve and how you can be a success, it makes all the difference in the world. I really love listening to your program because it's so helpful to me. It reaffirms what I believe, that the most important thing about you is your attitude. And if you have a positive attitude, you're going to get positive results. And that's all there is to it. That's the law of the universe. You know, I'm a disabled veteran. I have only one leg. I have a lot of things wrong with me health-wise. But, you know, I don't let that get me down. I don't get on a pity pot. I don't start feeling sorry for myself because, you know, there is people in this world that will help you if you have the ability to ask them in a kind way. You need a helping hand. Would you mind doing this for me, or would you mind teaching me that? There's so many avenues that you can go down if you want to be success in life. And
well,
that's what we're all here for.
And you know, I really appreciate that. That is a beautiful statement that you made, because it really leads into the factor that you have to be able to share what you have learned. And that's why we have the show we call the show Student to Teacher. And I just want to announce publicly that we really appreciate the work you've been doing with White Apple Institute as our public relations consultant. And I'm glad that you've come on board and that you're helping to pull things together. And as a veteran, as Mitch is also helping, we appreciate that you have so much to share. And one of the things that I would like to piggyback on what you said is that when you talk about attitude change, and today the whole premise of what we're talking about self-esteem, is that you have to change your attitude in order to build your self-esteem. But I want people to really get to how important it is. I call it the most integral, most critical part of our own personal happiness, is how we value ourselves, how we value the relationships that we have with other people, and how we achieve in life. It's all about how we look in the mirror, the mirror of our own souls, okay? And as I remember a teaching from Jesus that about take the stick out of your own eye before you begin to take it out of others. I don't know the exact context of the scripture or wherever it is, but I thought that's always stuck with me. And so it means to me that we go into ourselves and we look at who we are before we can begin to compare ourselves with others. Because when we compare ourselves with others, we're always going to find those that are so-called, we perceive them as greater or lesser than ourselves. And so I thank you very much for bringing that. Yes, go ahead. Any other thoughts you have on that?
Well, I would like to say publicly on radio that the principles that I use in my life that I have learned from the Lord Jesus Christ, he taught us so many things, simple things, that are so true. The first thing in the morning, I count my blessings. You know, think about that for a moment. How many blessings do you have that you can count, that you can thank your Lord for, and for the people that you know, and the blessing that you have? So count your blessings first thing in the morning, before you even start your day.
Uh-huh.
The second one that I use is I proclaim my rarity, not only to the world, not arrogantly to the world, but to myself.
Uh-huh.
I'm a very important person. I'm a Rembrandt. I'm a one of a kind, and so are you.
Uh-huh.
And you have that ability to reach out and to change yourself. The third one is the secret to success, and I have used this many, many times in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I used it when I was in school learning how to become a chef.
Mm-hmm.
When someone asks you to go with him 1 mile, go with him two. Jesus said that on the Sermon on the Mount.
Yes.
And it's so true. It is a secret to success. That
mm-hmm.
It'll separate you from the mediocre. You know, if you go the extra mile in life, if you do more than what you're paid for, if you do more than what people expect from you, you will be a great on your way to success.
Well,
and the fourth principle is, you know, use wisely your power of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Count your blessings, proclaim your rarity, go the extra mile, and use wisely your power of choice. And when you make a big decision, always go to the Lord, I do, and ask him for his help and his guidance, and for people like Mitch that are so inspirational and so good to hear about their lives. It's just a wonderful opportunity for all of us to learn more about how to exist in this world and be a success. But attitude and goals in your life are so very important.
Yes.
That you just don't realize how important they are until you use them, apply them, and the things that you want to achieve. You'll be amazed at what you can achieve if you just try.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That piggybacks on what something Mitch was saying that his mother had shared about you're always a winner if you try. Is that right, Mitch? What was that? Let me see. I don't think I have you on. Hold on a minute, Mitch. Okay. I'm sorry, Mitch. Go ahead.
Nothing beats a failure but a try. But
nothing beats
a failure
but a try.
I just want to comment on the one thing that last caller just said, I forgot his name, but is that he said something that is so profound. We who are vets, we are a proud, a strong fraternity.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes we forget to ask for help.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm going to tell you that when I was going to college, I told you that I felt like that I wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed.
Uh-huh.
What helped me through was humility,
uh-huh.
giving up that pride that, oh, I can do anything all on my own. Everybody needs help doing something to get where they are. And you, as a professor, you could probably understand this more than most.
Uh-huh.
When I was going to college and I had problems, and most of the time I did, I would go to my professor. And when I first started doing it, I thought, oh, they must be getting very perturbed at me for taking
uh-huh.
up their time.
Uh-huh.
But it came out to be that the professors were impressed that
uh-huh.
I took the time to ask their help.
Yeah.
And
yes.
their help helped me through the years that I went to ASU. That was my redeeming quality is that
okay.
I got help from the professors, and they felt proud,
uh-huh.
very proud to help me.
And you know, Mitch, I can't tell you how important that is because we have many of our adult learners out there that are listening to the show. They're in college, whether they're veterans or not. But especially, I want veterans to understand, just like myself, I use the veterans' benefits to go to school. I know the other call, Jim, use veterans' benefits. And, of course, you use veterans' benefits and also the disabled resources in order to succeed at school. And I like what you said about looking at the ways that you can ask others for help without feeling a loss of your self-esteem and worth. And one of the things that in Nichiren Buddhism, as a matter of fact, when I was relating to Dr. Likert, who is a Buddhist, who uses a lot of Buddhist principles in his practice, and he talks about something you just said just now about the smaller self, the part of ourselves that seems better than those of others, and we become attached to this smaller self. And what you're saying is that you have to look at this larger self, which they teach in Nichiren Buddhism, that lies within all of us, this larger self, which is the connection to whatever we call the creator, whatever we call God in our lives. And it's so important that we accept that there is a smaller self, that ego, that will prevent us from asking for help when we know that we're dealing with self-esteem issues. We know that there's confusion in our life and depression and a sense of hopelessness. And we must catch it. I encourage all of you out there, if you see that happening with anyone that's within your family, your friendship, your relationships with others, even at work, and you see that happening, you see a change happening that looks like a person has taken a downward spiral, talk to them, encourage them, tell them to listen to the show, contact White Apple Institute, or contact someone in their in a counseling situation where they can get some help early, because if they get it early, then we don't run into deeper problems down the road. So I thank you for really focusing on great discussions, because we focused on the teachings of Jesus Christ. We focused on the teachings of Buddhism. There's so many different teachings out there that all help us to recognize the importance of the God image within all of us. And that's I think that's the true crux, if I can say that to both of you gentlemen and our listeners out there, that the true crux of building our self-esteem is recognizing that that God works within us and God works all around us, and we are truly blessed every day that we wake up, no matter what our disabled parts of our bodies may be doing. We have to look at what we can do, the different abilities that we have. And so before we close here, we've got a little less than 10 minutes on the show. I'd like to make sure that we try to get another caller in. And Malvina, do we have anybody in chat room that needs to say something? Okay. All right. They're just kudos in there. All right. Okay. We have a 418 number. Good morning. Good morning, 418-602.
Good morning. This is Dr. Polnitz.
Hello, Dr. Polnitz. Thank you. Dr. Polnitz is a board member for White Apple Institute. Thank you for calling in this morning.
And I don't have a lot to add to what you all have already said, except to appreciate for such a enlightening conversation this morning. We all, at our own times, need to have some motivation and our self-esteem kind of boosted, and, you know, to get out of our lesser self or our littler self or, you know, whatever we may call it, and look at the big picture. And I thank you for bringing that up, because even as we mature and we gain wisdom, and we still have a tendency sometimes to slip back into that feeling of not feeling empowered. And I just thank you for having a very empowering conversation this morning. I appreciate it. And guess what? I needed it. Thank you.
You know, one of the things that I like about what you said, and I want to make sure that I emphasize it even a little bit more, is that we respect that we have a wide range of listeners with different religious views, philosophical views, and I try to respect all of them. And one of the things that I think that across the board, I don't care what religion I could go to, I will always be able to find people who understand that that self-esteem is very, very important, and it's connected to whatever we call the God source. And so if people can dig deep inside of them and recognize their positive qualities, then that's something that can become contagious, okay? One of the things I know about you, Dr. Polnitz, is your attitude about life is very, very positive, and your laugh is contagious, and I know your students get that too. So I just want to give kudos to you for emphasizing all of that. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I've had opportunity and the good fortune to spend the evening with a three-year-old. And,
uh-huh.
you know, sometimes that can just wear on you to where you start wondering if you're really real.
Yes.
So
yes.
I quieted her down long enough to get on and speak with you all. And
yes.
again, my kudos and deep appreciation for what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you. One of the things that I'd like to close out with our time left on the show today is I want to go back to something that I had mentioned earlier and see whatever comments come up as we begin to close. And I talked about the fact that many people have this low self-esteem issue because of the way they not only look at themselves, but the way they perceive the world around them. And they are unable to find happiness because the happiness has to start within you. And so I'm asking again that we take a look at ourselves in the mirror of our own souls and figure out what part of ourselves do we like and what part of ourselves do we dislike, and really get in touch with that. And hopefully you won't focus too much on physical appearance, okay? But I have to watch that myself, so I share that with you, that we're not talking about physical appearance as much as we're talking about that inner character. What our veterans were just saying this morning, something that builds within you. And I don't know if I'm right in saying this. I believe that we come even into the military setting with a sense of discipline, self-discipline, okay? And to have self-discipline and integrity are good ingredients to building high self-esteem. And let's see if our veterans have anything to add as we close the show on this. Mitch, you have anything to say on that?
Yes, I would like to say that when I first went into the military, and this will go as also segue into the avenue of professors, how I reached out to them. There were things that schools that I attended when I was in the military, I reached out to my instructors and asked them, how can I achieve what you want me to achieve?
Uh-huh.
And again, as I did with the professors, I found it that they were the people who did not expect me to do that. And they
uh-huh.
were more receptive because I did, because it showed my sincerity. It showed
uh-huh.
my thing about my character. And
yes.
all I'm saying is with anyone who is, when you say what is the thing that you dislike about yourself, I say what is not to like about yourself. If
uh-huh.
there's something that you feel that needs improving, well then that's where you work.
Uh-huh.
You don't look at it as, at least I don't, look at my flaws as something that is flawed within me. It's something that I have to work on, because Rome wasn't built in a day. No piece of sculpture, no piece of literature was created overnight. Or
uh-huh.
So you have to work on things. And I just would
Thank
like
you.
To reiterate again is that all of us are a work in progress.
Okay.
And if you think that you don't look good today, well, then work on it.
Okay.
Get your hair cut.
Do small things,
and they will add up to be big things. Because
all
what
right.
you think that people are not looking at, that's what they are looking at. So
well, we
just,
have to
just
close,
look
we,
at it. Your,
we have to close now,
well,
Mitch. We've got less than a minute left on the clock here, and we certainly appreciate that boost of that motivational comment that you made. And we're going to thank White Apple Institute for providing this show for us today. And we ask that you go to the whiteappleinstitute.org and make a donation to keep our show going and to help with our veterans, our student veterans, and adult learners with disabilities so that they can succeed and not focus on the disability, but focus on your different abilities. This is Dr. Danita Applewhite, Student Teacher Show, and we close our show this morning with Wes Ricks from Two Worlds. Much love and peace. Much love and peace to you.